Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is Pastor John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we teach those who teach others. And today I want you to prepare to be blessed by the word of the Lord as we go through the Gospel of Luke. Go grab your Bibles, pens, and notebooks, and get ready as we look at Luke 17, verses 5 to 10, how to increase your faith. Luke 17, 5 to 10, how to increase your faith. Let us pray. Father in heaven, this is a very important topic. Please give me words to encourage every Christian's heart. That faith in you is possible, not impossible, and that great things can be accomplished as we believe. Open your word now to our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's read the passage, and it has two little thoughts combined to tell us how to have faith. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant ploughing or keeping sheep say to him when he is coming from the field, come at once and recline at table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. And so today we're going to look at a few things. Firstly, we're going to look at the nature of faith. Secondly, we're going to look at the power of faith. And thirdly, we're going to look at the humble obedience of faith. So the three things, then, what is faith? How can we have powerful faith? And what is the humble obedience of faith as we walk in the Lord? So let's start with the idea of what is our faith. If we say increase our faith, what is it? Well, faith is the proper response of the creature to the Creator, where we trust God with our physical life, with our spiritual life, with our finances, and with the various things. It's our responding to a spiritual impulse from God, so that when God's Spirit touches our spirit, we say, yes, Lord, and we believe. So when Abraham believed God, it was credited to him for righteousness. What did he believe God about? He believed God for the promise of the land. He believed the God for the promise of descendants. And he believed God that he would be blessed and be a blessing to all nations, which was fulfilled in the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, as we see in Galatians chapter 3. So Abraham believed God. He believed God when God's Spirit touched his spirit, spoke to him, and he said, this is true. God has spoken truly. I know that. I know it in my heart. I know it in my mind. I know it with deep conviction. And I have laid hold of that truth for myself. So faith is laying hold of the truth of God, the nature of God, the existence of God. For he who has faith must believe that he is, and is he that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. So when you and I have faith in God, we are confident that God rewards. And Abraham was confident that God would reward him, that God would be his shield and very great reward. That God would take him and bless him. And so that's when God blessed him, because he believed. So Abraham believed that God is a rewarder of them that seek him. So faith, you seek God, you hear from God, you believe God, and you are rewarded by God. And we find that Moses believed in him who was invisible, and he believed so strongly that he could take hold of Pharaoh. Why did he believe? Because he had the divine experience. God spoke to him at the burning bush. God's spirit touched his spirit, his mind and his heart. He was convinced that God was there, that God was speaking to him, that God was commissioning to him, and God had given him a power, an authority in the staff that he would throw on the ground and would turn into a snake, and he'd pick it up again and it would turn back into the rod. And so these powers that come from faith came to Moses, and he believed in him who was invisible. He was able to walk away from all the treasures of Pharaoh's household and liberate the children of Israel. So we have to believe that God is and that he exists. We have to believe that he speaks to us in our inmost being, that his words to us are true, and the words are recorded in the Bible, and they're also spoken to us in our conscience, in our dreams, in our visions, in encounters like the burning bush, or encounters like Joseph and other people had, where God reveals them to him, and he believed those things, and he walked and talked by those things, so he could commit his bones to the descendants of Israel to take back to the promised land. So we know when God has spoken to us, and faith is believing God when he speaks to you. It can be through the pastor at church. It could be through a dream or a vision. It could be through a spiritual experience of some sort. But mainly, we believe in God through his word, the Bible. And his Bible is true and living. And when we trust the Bible, when we trust what we see written in the Gospels and the Epistles and the Book of Acts and so on, and even in the Book of Revelation, when God speaks to us through the Scripture and says, this is your life, and we walk into that. Many years ago, of course, God spoke to me and I believed and I became a Christian. That was on the 1st of May, 1978. Sometime after that, he spoke to me that I was to be a missionary. He spoke to me through my great-grandfather's autobiography. He was a missionary to China. I read it. I was convicted. I knew that was going to be my life. And he sent me to Bible college against my will almost. A long story involved there. And he convinced me to stay studying the Bible and theology until I had a lot under my belt, because he was commissioning me to be a missionary Bible teacher. I believed God. I walked with God. And I believed that God would supply to those who step out for him. And in my early ministry and for many years, Matthew 6:33 was my verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I have many stories about God's supply, but one I will tell you. When I came back from being a missionary to Papua New Guinea, I came back and my clothes were like rags. They were terrible. I felt so ashamed going out in public. So I went to Matthew chapter 6 and to the bit where the lilies of the field are clothed with all their glory. And I said, here is God's promise that I will be clothed properly. I want to look good. I don't want to look shabby. And a friend of mine went to Hong Kong. And she came back with two suitcases full of premier clothes from Hong Kong, because she knew a nun who knew someone at a clothing factory, and they had seconds, clothes they couldn't quite sell, but were still very, very good. And the brands with the alligator on it and the Pierre Cardin and all that. And I had these wonderful shirts and wonderful clothes, and I was the best dressed missionary in the world for a while. And so God knows how to clothe his people. God knows how to supply to his people when we stand on his promises and we believe his promises. God speaks to you. You walk out in faith on his word. You take the risk, and God supplies and God blesses, because you have faith, because you have believed. You believe with your heart. You believe with your heart and with your mind, not just a mental assent, but with your being, your whole self. You believe in. You know you have to take action. And as you take action on the word of faith, so life changes. So when Peter, James, and John and the apostles heard the call of Jesus, and they said, Jesus said to them, I will make you fishers of men. And they left their fishing boats. And James and all those, they left their fishing boats and they came and they served Jesus at a huge risk. They'd given up everything they had to become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the disciples became apostles, And we know all about them now from the Bible. And their adventure, their trust in the word that came to them through Jesus, the fact that they believed enough to respond to Jesus, has made them famous 2,000 years later. And of course, they have great glory in heaven, and they become the apostles and founders of Christ's church throughout the world. So if they had not believed, if they had not believed the command that came to them, come and be fishers of men, they would be still insignificant. No one would remember them. They would just have been another fisherman by the Lake of Galilee. And that's what happens. When God speaks to you and you believe, things are transformed. So faith is receiving the word of God deep in your heart so that it prospers, so that it comes forth, so it abides in you and you abide in it, and you start living your life not for bread alone, but for the word of God that's laid hold of you, and Christ lays hold of you and you lay hold of Christ, and together you walk through life by faith. Because God has spoken into your spirit, something has come alive in you, you believe that thing that comes alive, and you stood on that, and you're going out, you're going to have faith, you're going to be bold. So that's what faith is. It's the apprehending of the truth of God, however it comes to you, but mainly it should come from Scripture. And you are entitled to check things. You don't have to believe everything that every preacher tells you or anyone prophesies over you and so on and so forth. Sometimes those people who prophesy over you are well-intentioned, but in my case, 90% of those prophecies are not been very helpful. So it may not be different for where you are. So we need to believe the word of God as it comes to us. And we need to listen to the word of God in the Bible and apply it to our lives. And then you are truly walking in faith. So that's what faith is. And you need to get that straight before we go on to the next part. And it said, and the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Okay, so there's a lot of things going on here. What's the mulberry tree to start with? The mulberry tree is a deeply rooted problem. The mountain is a massive problem. It talks in another place about speaking to mountains and them being cast into the sea. Here he's talking about a mulberry tree. Mulberry trees have deep roots. They are impossible to pull out from the soil. In that way, they're a little bit of a pest. They start small, they grow big, they bear wonderful mulberries, which is a great fruit. And where I grew up in Australia, it was quite common. And we would like to eat the mulberries and they would make a huge mess. But the mulberry tree has deep roots that go down into the soil. It cannot easily be uprooted. And sometimes we have problems in our life, in our church, in our country, in our city, in our society that are deeply rooted problems. And so here Jesus says we are to speak to those deeply rooted problems. They will be uprooted and cast into the sea, and that problem won't exist anymore. We will have got rid of that deeply rooted problem. Now let's look into your heart and your mind. Say you've got a deeply rooted sin of resentment. You can speak to that resentment and say, be uprooted from my life. I don't want this resentment and hatred boiling inside me anymore. Be uprooted and cast into the sea, into the unconscious, into the place where it's never going to occur again. Say, resentment, get out of my life. Or deeply rooted guilt. God, Christ has forgiven me. Get out of my life. Don't come back to me anymore, and it will be pulled out of your life and cast into the sea. And so whatever deeply rooted problems you have, whether they're lust, whether they're avarice, whether they're sloth, whether they're fearfulness, you can speak to those deeply rooted problems and say, get out of my life. I don't want you anymore. I get and be cast into the sea. And now we get to the matter of authority. And Jesus says we have authority to do this, that we could command the mulberry tree to be uprooted and it will be cast into the sea. Now, this is a new teaching. This is new to the world. This is an introduction of the teaching of the kingdom of God. We can speak to things and they will change. And this is how the faith of Jesus and the apostles operated. Jesus would speak to Lazarus, who was dead in the grave for 3 days, and say, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth alive. The word activated the miracle. Jesus would talk to a young girl and say, ears be opened, and the deaf girl would hear. The lame would walk, the blind would see, the demons would flee at the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus introduced spoken authority over demons. He would speak and they would be cast out with a word. The Jewish exorcists used all sorts of elaborate rituals and parts of dead fish, etc., etc., to try and get out demons. None of that was necessary. Only true spiritual authority was necessary. And when the Jewish exorcists tried to cast out a demon from a man in Ephesus, they couldn't do it. The demon overpowered them. Paul came and he spoke in the name of Jesus, and the demon was cast out. And there was a great revival in Ephesus as a result. So if we have faith, even as a mustard seed, even as a tiny little living growing thing, then if we can speak to the problem will go away. But the faith is the certainty that the words we're saying are going to be efficacious, that the words we're saying are going to have power in the spiritual realms. So where does that power come from? Where does spiritual power come from? Well, it doesn't come from inside of us. It doesn't come from our money, from our knowledge, from our social position, or anything else. I'm sure the Jewish exorcists knew the Bible, but their knowledge of the Bible was insufficient to deal with the demons. The Pharisees knew the Bible, but their knowledge of the Bible was insufficient to heal the sick or raise the dead or cleanse a leper. They were helpless in the face of human suffering. But Jesus spoke to human suffering and dealt with it and could do things like turning water into wine. He could speak to a storm and say, "Storm, be still," and the storm would be still. Faith is the ability to give commands. And when the disciples could not cast out a demon from someone who was having a seizure, Jesus got frustrated and said, "Why couldn't you do this? Where is your faith? Your commands were not working." Why? Because they lacked faith. They lacked the certainty that their word would be efficacious because of the terrifying scene that was unfolding before them. They were overwhelmed with fear at the sight before them, I think, or whatever. They didn't believe for some reason. And Jesus had to say, "This kind can only come out through prayer." And he knew what to deal with. Not to do to deal with that demon. So faith exercises command authority. Faith speaks to the problem and says, "Problem be solved." And I remember a time when I was a part of a committee organizing a crusade in Townsville, Australia, and the evangelist's name was Newman. I've forgotten his first name, maybe Brian Newman. And he had put together this crusade, and we were quite a bit of money short on the expenses for this crusade. And so someone said, an Anglican priest, they said, "Say grace, grace to the mountain, and this mountain shall be removed." And so we were all there, and he was using the verses in Zechariah about speaking, this mountain shall be moved, not by might, not by power, but by spirit, said the Lord. And we said, "Grace, grace to the mountain," and quickly, within a few minutes, the money came in and we could pay the crusade bills. So we knew what needed to be, God knew what needed to be done, and he raised up someone who could command the money to come in for that situation. I will tell you another strange story going on. There was a certain situation going on in my life that needed to be turned around. And so a friend of mine said, "Turn around three times and say, situation be turned around." So I got up in my lounge room and I turned around three times and I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, this situation will be turned around." And within a few hours, that situation was turned around by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we speak to situations and we speak to the mountain and we speak to the mulberry tree, and those situations are transformed and they are cast out. The mountain is moved. The mulberry tree is uprooted. God moves through the word of authority. Now, the authority comes from our place in the heavenly realms. It doesn't come from our mind, our body, our social position, or our education. Our spiritual authority doesn't come from having a PhD or the title of bishop or archbishop or someone saying you're an apostle. You don't need those titles. You need faith. None of the apostles went out and call themselves bishop or archbishop. Jesus says, do not call yourself father. We don't have to have a title to have power. The title may give us some sort of social authority, but the power to cast out demons and heal the sick, comes to anyone who has faith, anyone who truly believes they can have the spiritual power because we have been seated in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. You and I have been raised up together with Christ through his resurrection and through his ascension because we are seated in him. We are now seated in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, and Jesus has power over every power and principality. And some of that power is delegated to us according to our faith. Our gifts, our spiritual gifts, power and authority operate according to your level of faith. So you have to come before God in sanctification and prayer and say, God, show me how to use the authority you've already given me in Christ Jesus. Lord God, please show me how to exercise the spiritual authority you've given me in Christ Jesus. Now, I used to pray for healing. For many years, I prayed with little effect because I would pray like this. Father in heaven, if it be your will, heal so-and-so of their disease. Nothing happened. I prayed like this for 15 years. I believed in healing. Nothing happened. Then one day I was talking about a passage similar to this in a little church, an evening service. And I said all these things about Jesus and his word of command, his word of power. How every healing prayer in the New Testament was a command prayer. Would be let leper be cleansed or Lazarus be rise up and walk in Lazarus come forth, or the lame man and the gate beautiful, rise up and walk. And he did everything by Jesus or the apostles. Every prayer of healing was a prayer of command. They would command the positive end result into existence. They would speak to it by faith. They would see the positive thing they wanted, and they would speak that into existence. And so they would speak God's will into existence in the situation through the prayer of faith. So anyway, in this evening service, I preached about this, and then about 15 people came up for healing at the end of the service, people I did not expect to want healing. So I prayed for these 15 people, and all 15 were healed, much to my total astonishment, including a woman with a frozen shoulder and one with a long-term disease, I think multiple sclerosis. She was also healed. I was astonished at the result of this command prayer. I commanded healing, and healing happened through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I personally learned the power of command prayer. And you need to learn to speak the word of faith into situations so that people can be healed and people can be blessed. So faith is your ability to command the will of God to happen in a certain situation. As God speaks to you about that situation, you grasp hold of God's word for that situation and you speak it into existence through the power of God, through the authority of God in you, and that thing that God has communicated to you starts to happen. The last few minutes here, I have to cover the last bit here where he says about the servant plowing and serving at table. This is to say we are not to be presumptuous. When we start to do works of faith, when we start to do miracles, it's tempting to get a big head. But Jesus says, no matter how many miracles you do, when you have done all that you are commanded, say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done what is our duty. So no matter how many wonderful things happen to you, no matter how many people you see saved, no matter how many people you teach the Bible to, no matter how many healings and miracles you see, no matter how many demons you cast out, if you are to maintain your faith, you must maintain your humility. You must maintain your faith before God and not become boastful and presumptuous. Boastful people are condemned throughout the New Testament. It's a sign of a false teacher to go around being boastful. Instead, faith is humble. Faith bows its knee before the Lord Jesus Christ and serves him. And when we've come in from the field, when we've come in doing all our work out there and we're exhausted, don't expect God to serve you. You still have to serve God. You need to have your prayer time. You have to wait upon the Lord. You have to pray for him. There is no excuse for clicking your fingers and expecting God to obey you. You don't do that. You serve the Lord. In season and out of season, you are to be humble, and that humility will keep your faith sweet. It will keep you from being a big-headed, annoying person who is out of the will of God and starts to boss people around and starts to destroy your ministry. You see these people who are sort of aggressive and they're boastful, and eventually people drift away from them because they're impossible to work for. Whereas people who are loving, who are pastoral, who care about the people under their care, who care about their church, who care about other people on the evangelism team, who care about the people who they pray for, who are humble and meek, these people have long-term ministries. Someone like Billy Graham, he was always very humble. He gave credit to God. He gave the glory to God. And he was not a boastful person at all. So we need to follow the example of the spiritual greats, of people like John the Apostle, who was very, very humble and meek and did not pour credit on himself at all. Instead, he just worshipped the Lord and did mighty miracles. And we need to stay humble servants before the Lord Jesus Christ. In the end, no matter what you do in your ministry, no matter how great it is, no matter how powerful it is, you are just doing your duty. Faith is doing God's will. Faith is doing the duty that the Lord has laid upon you. The Lord has laid a duty upon me to be a Bible teacher on radio and on the internet. My job is Bible teaching to the nations. And no matter how many people this broadcast goes to, no matter how many lives are changed by it, I am still just turning up each day and doing my duty. And if you're pastoring a church, you are no greater than any other Christian. You are just turning up and doing your duty. If you're doing an evangelistic crusade, you are no greater than any other Christian. You have been given a gift by God. You are to be a steward of that gift of evangelism. You are to do your crusade. You are not to see yourself as the center of the world. It's Jesus Christ who is the center of the world. Instead, you are just doing your duty, and you are to do it as unto the Lord. So let us pray, and we'll finish off this broadcast. Father in heaven, I pray that you will increase the faith of every person listening to this broadcast. I pray that you will strengthen them in humility and grace. I pray that they will learn and know and understand the spiritual authority, that they will be able to speak to mountains and mulberry trees and move all the difficult situations in front of them, that you will give them the ability to command reality with the word of God, and they will rejoice as they do their duty for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.